This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More dissecting and trying to figure out if Deshaun Watson is going to be with the Jets. So, you know, the things that would hold this up don't seem like that big of a deal. That's where it stands right now. Now, the things that we thought were going to hold it up in the beginning, we have decided, talked about, figured out that it's probably not going to hold it up. And those things were, one, Deshaun Watson actually wanting the Jets. I mean, that was one of the first things that we brought up was, does he want to come to the Jets? Does he want to come to an organization that's not known as one of the best in football that just went through a miserable season? You know, does he want that? Well, according to reports, and that report coming from a Miami columnist, that, yeah, the Dolphins are on the wish list. We thought number one, but the Dolphins are number two. He wants the Jets more. So another thing that
I can give him like 15 million reasons why, you know, Miami would be.
Well, let's not do that. Let's try to get him. Let's try to get him thinking about New York in a good way.
I think he is because James Harden is here and, you know, the Brooklyn Nets.
He likes Kevin Durant. They're friends
yes,
as well.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. So, all right. So that's one. Another one was the contract stuff where the dead cap money for the Houston Texans and trying to move on from Deshaun Watson was going to be impossible. We decided going through it that it was not impossible.
They'll designate him as a post June 1st trade,
sure,
which will cut it all in half and spread it out, and they'll actually gain money for their salary cap.
So those two things we feel okay, not big hurdles,
right?
Another one is, will the Houston Texans actually do it? You know, will they be in a position where they feel like they have to trade him? Because as I've said many times, with guys who want out of their particular situations, that the teams have more leverage than they use. Now, the Houston Rockets were using some of it, and they made James Harden come back, and they made him play. And then James Harden started blowtorching his teammates publicly, and then that was not a good situation. And then they got the deal from the Nets that was the be-all, end-all. Then they were able to feel comfortable in moving on from James Harden at 31 years old and the way that he was acting and all of that. You know, will the Houston Texans decide to exercise their leverage that they have on a player who's under contract and say, hey, we'll just fine the hell out of you for not showing up? Or will they take a deal, like you said, they've got cap issues, they've got no picks. And will Nick Caserio, the new general manager in Houston, say, you know, we're better off as an organization? Like, you never want to trade a franchise player. But if he is that unhappy and we can benefit as an organization and rebuild maybe quicker and better the right way if we take this deal as opposed to not taking this deal, then that is something that I can see actually happening. But I do believe that that's still a big hurdle. And the other thing that I don't know the answer to this, but it's been speculated about, is will Deshaun Watson want to stay based on the coach that is hired in Houston? Now, Pro Football Talk put out an article saying that it doesn't matter. Like, did people around Deshaun Watson say it doesn't matter who they hire? It's too late. The owner and the situation there, and he's just over it. You know, they could try to bring in Leslie Frazier or Eric Bieniemy or someone who they wanted. He wanted them to interview. It's too late now. It's not about that. He wants out. But I mean, I could see Eric Bieniemy getting hired there in Houston, having one conversation with Deshaun Watson and say, hey, I want to work with this guy. All right, let's hang out here in Houston because I know the city loves me.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the spot track numbers for him, and the post 6-1 trade would be a 2021 dead cap hit of $5.4 million, a 2022 dead cap hit of $16.2 million. And then you'd also have a cap savings of $10.5 million this year. So at least that's what SpotTrack is telling us. So a very movable contract under those circumstances. Now, the interesting thing, when you take a look at the draft capital coming into this year's draft, where there's most likely going to be five first-round quarterbacks taken, the Jets have the second most draft capital behind the Jacksonville Jaguars. The team right after the Jets happens to be the Miami Dolphins. The Jets have the second pick. The Miami Dolphins have the third pick. The Jets have six picks in the top 100 this year, and the Dolphins have five picks in the top 100 this year. That doesn't count, you know, future draft picks and all the other stuff. The Jets are set up pretty good for the 2022 draft as well.
So they have two first-round picks this year and two next year.
I'm pretty sure they do, yes.
Right, so that's another reason why you would consider doing
something.
The Dolphins
may also have that, too. I'm not really sure what the Dolphins have moving forward.
Right, but they also did draft a quarterback last year in the first round.
So the question would be, are the Houston Texans interested in Sam Darnold or Tua Tagovailoa?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's another question. Would one of those players, you would think, would be in some sort of trade? I don't know, going back to Houston, unless Houston likes one of these young kids that are coming out.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
You would trade, if you're trading for Watson to come to Miami or the Jets, now Miami or the Jets, if they're not trading either one of those quarterbacks back to Houston, now you're trading them somewhere else.
Yeah, I would imagine that the Houston Texans would probably say, give me the pick, let me take the guy that I want to take. Because also, I mean, Sam Darnold, you're talking the fifth-year option thing at this point. I mean, if you get a rookie quarterback in the with the second overall pick in the draft and you're starting his clock, you got some more years to be able to fill some things out when you're in a cap situation that isn't ideal. So I would think that they probably wouldn't want either one of those guys.
Well, the other thing you have to look at is you know, the salary cap structure for the team that Deshaun Watson or Matthew Stafford would be traded to. And there's only a handful of teams that could actually handle those contracts as we sit here right now.
Sure.
And the Jets are one of those teams. The Colts are one of those teams. San Francisco would be one of those teams most likely because they would probably get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo and his contract is easy to get rid of. So there are needy quarterback teams that have salary cap room to make these trades happen. That's the other part of this equation that you have to factor in. A team may need a quarterback, but like say New Orleans, for instance, they have the worst cap situation in the NFL. You know, they're going to stick with Jameis and Taysom Hill. They're not going to be able to add Matthew Stafford, even if Matthew Stafford wants to go there.
Sure. Yeah, I think that I know it's stomach-turning, and I'm not going to change my opinion on that, but if it's something, you know, if Deshaun Watson makes it to the Jets, it would be exciting for around here. It certainly would. I can't deny that. But generally, when players of this caliber want to go somewhere, even when they're under contract, in both the NBA and the NFL, it ends up happening.
And the reason why, I know why you want Deshaun Watson to hit the nuclear button. I know why.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that takes the Houston Texans off the hook in front of their own fans.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of like what happened here with Jamal Adams.
Mm-hmm.
The moment he started bitching and complaining, mm-hmm. you know, now all of a sudden the fans, at least half the fans, maybe more, sour on Jamal Adams because he doesn't want to play for their team.
Right, so Houston's gone through a lot of departures here with, you know, George Springer going to the Toronto Blue Jays, James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets, now Deshaun Watson who wants out. The mayor of Houston tweeted something the other day like, my prayers are with the city of Houston that Deshaun Watson is staying. So
well, that's a lot of pressure on that young man.
Right, so there's a lot of that going on. So he probably is in a situation where he's like, man, I'd like to be traded, but not get the blame for being traded. That's
which
probably
is,
what he's thinking.
Which is the political game for Cal McNair and for Nick Caserio and for Easterby, the other guy that's in the middle of all this.
Sure.
You know, you have Andre Johnson saying, hold to your feelings. And then you also have Richard Sherman saying,
get
you got
to
get
Jets.
Out of there and
yeah.
go to the Jets, go play for Coach Sala.
Right.
So I'm sure Joe Douglas has made the phone call already. The question is how deep are they into it? Is it just exploratory at the moment? And then if you're the Jets, you really have to sit down and you have to think about all your options. To me, Matthew Stafford does not make sense for the Jets.
No, Matthew Stafford needs to go to a team that was good this past year, that's planning to be good again this year coming up, and needs a quarterback.
To me, the Colts or the 49ers make the most sense.
Sure.
And, you know, they could fit him under the cap, and then he would give them a five-year kind of window to win with him.
Yep.
And I would think that would probably – the one of those two places are probably the place that I would think that he would want to go, just simply because they do have good teams. And, you know, and even Philip Rivers showed that you could have a good year and go to the playoffs. But, you know, Matthew Stafford gives them a five-year window as opposed to a one-year window.
So what was the benefit of announcing that both sides agreed that he was going to be traded? I mean, doesn't that put the Lions in a tough situation where it's like, hey, we know you're going to trade him. So, I mean, are they just banking on so many teams bidding against themselves? Because normally you don't tell somebody.
Yeah, but you put them up for auction right now, and there will be teams that are really going to try to move Heaven and Earth to get him.
Yeah, you need multiple teams to try to move Heaven and Earth.
And that's why you're saying, hey, it's amicably, we're going to split, and it's all – or amicable, I should say, and we're going to split. It's going to be fine. So now, you know, the fan base isn't all ticked off because the player wants to leave, and, you know, they got a new coach coming in there. And maybe there is a player that they like. I can't imagine that they're all through, you know, just looking at all the quarterbacks here. But, you know, they'll get a couple first rounders for Matthew, I believe.
Do you think that Dan Neanderthal, the new coach there in Detroit, knew that this was going to happen before he took the job?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
I would think that when you went in there, you said Matthew Stafford and his agents have come to us and said, look, this is it. It's not going anywhere. Everybody's tired of this thing. Some of the fan base is tired of it. The ownership's tired of it, you know, and the player himself is tired of it.
Sure. I mean, because if Dan Campbell didn't know that and he went in there and then all of a sudden they sprung this on him, there'd be some guys missing some kneecaps.
Yeah, but maybe that's why they gave him a 6-year deal.
Yeah, maybe. Right. He's like, wow, you know, this is going to take some rebuilding here to really turn this thing around.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
I thought it stopped.
No, it did not stop. Just as recently as a couple of minutes ago, it has not stopped. This is now multiple toilet issues that I have seen with my own two eyes. Yesterday in my own house when my daughter decided to flush not only a tomato but an avocado down the toilet. So there was that. And then this morning I come in here and there are issues. So
is that right in the middle of the games yesterday?
Yeah, it was. And I'm watching the game and there's a, you know, that turnover there, the Nicole Kidman, McCole Hardman fumble. Right. And then the Knox touchdown after that as well. This was going on. So, you know, I didn't pause the game, which I should have paused the game, but I didn't. And then so I go over to the toilet, and then Sabrina, I pulled the avocado, and the avocado came out of the toilet, right? Yeah. Because that didn't flush.
So she's just experimenting.
Wow. Right. So then it was still clogged, and we said, Sabrina, did you put anything else in the toilet? And she said, tomato. And I said, oh, great. So then,
it's just right in the middle of the game.
And then I said, not in my calmest voice, I said, every other sports talk show host in America's sitting here watching this game, and I'm fishing tomatoes out of my toilet.
Oh, the life of a 2-year-old.
Yeah. So we'll get that fixed today.
You're done with your guy, maybe he can come here.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't know so much about this. This one looks dangerous, man.
Well, because one guy on Twitter said that I should flush another one, and that will stop it. And I thought it actually did.
Hmm. But flush the other urinal.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, when I went in there, it was pouring.
Is
again.
It overflowing?
Not yet, but it looks like it may at some point.
So have we alerted anybody?
Who do we call? I thought I stopped it, so no.
Yeah, I
you
don't know.
You have to call building maintenance.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, how do you call them?
Yeah, well, we can. Our engineering department has.
They're not going in there to do anything.
No, but they would be
except
able to
what
alert
they have to do.
The building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's let somebody know because it looks like a
maybe
dangerous.
Maybe we can call down to Janae. Can you do that and say, hey,
she's not here.
No.
Yeah, I saw her this morning.
She was?
Yeah.
Oh.
She starts after five, Jerry.
Not when we came in.
Yeah.
So you can't call her and say you might want to get some building maintenance up here before.
Do you want me to vacate the con and go deal with it?
No, I don't want you to vacate our show.
Con?
No, I think we have to make sure that somebody knows about this.
What is the con?
What's that
console?
Mean?
The control.
Control.
He thinks he's Captain Kirk. You know what I'm saying? So that's this whole thing. Nanu, nanu. You know, Jesus God.
No, don't do that. We'll figure it out. In one of the breaks, we'll call somebody or whatever. I mean, I don't want to just talk about this and not do anything to fix it. And then all
something
of a sudden,
has to happen. Well, you know, right. we'll all get run out of here.
Well, yeah, there's nobody else in this building, right? I mean, everybody decided to leave. Google and everybody else were like, we can work from home. Enough of this. So,
so
even
if anybody who works at 345 Hudson and you're listening, can somebody please call maintenance?
Right. So a urinal doesn't drop through the floor and hit somebody in the head.
Can you do an instant reaction video to the urinal?
Yeah, yes. I'll go back in there and I'll do that. As long as nobody else is in the bathroom, I'll film that for you. All right, Alan, we'll put it up there on the WFAN Twitter. All right, Jerry, what's going on this hour?
Well, we have the Bucks and the Packers in Green Bay, NFC Championship game, and Tampa had it late. Green Bay looking for a stop. This is after they kicked the field goal, as we know. It was a 5-point game, and Green Bay got a break and then finished it out.
Snap to Brady, looking around. Brady lofts it over the left side, and it's incomplete. The receiver tripped and fell, and a late flag is thrown on the play.
Yeah, passing interference called, or I mean, they could have called holding, too, which would have been 5 yards and a first down as well. And then the Bucks wound up just closing it out.
Now they get motion, and here's the toss around the right end. It is Godwin, makes the turn, slides to a stop with a first down, and that's the ball game.
It's over. Yes, that was Green Bay Radio with the call. 31-26, the final score, as Tom Brady is going back to the place he owns, the Super Bowl, for a 10th time. Remarkable. He threw for 280 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was picked off 3 times, but in the end, a win is a win. And he points to the defense, 5 sacks of Aaron Rodgers, including a couple of big ones in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they played incredible. I thought the defense was spectacular. And they've been that way, you know, all year.
And they came through
Shaq
in
Barrett
the clutch.
In particular.
And here he is, very excited to be going to the Super Bowl in Tampa.
It's never been done before, and we doing it. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm happy that everybody who's on this organization is a part of it. We got some great guys here and everybody. I just love it here. I love him, and I'm happy that we're doing it together.
Loving everybody, yes, and good for him. Here's Matt LaFleur. So any regrets not going for the touchdown on fourth down with about 205, 206 left and kicking the field goal?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right?
Yep. And
right.
That's the end for Green Bay. Here's Aaron Rodgers, tough.
You know, it's a long season. You put so much into it to get to this point. And then, you know, the way, you know, we had our chances.
346 yards passing for Rodgers.
That was such an overpronounced ugh. I mean, that was like if you go into like the sound effects bank that Eddie has, like those really cheesy sound effects, and you had like an ugh in there, a frustrated ugh, that would be it. He's like, ugh. Ugh. Yeah, I know. Listen, I can understand why he's that upset, though. And then he starts dropping the hints about his future and if he's going to be there, and then everybody starts freaking out over that.
Here's that.
Obviously, there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not, but just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
Do you think he's one of those guys that could just walk away at this point in his career or not?
No.
You don't
think
so?
Like an Andrew Luck?
Yeah, like no. Just saying, like, no, hey, man, I've been good.
He wants to play until he's 40.
No, he'll be back.
I've seen it happen before with certain guys. I'm just asking, do you think that he has that type of personality to do that?
No, I think I know that he's a, if you want to, you know, term him an intellectual, you know, in football parlance, yes, he wants to host me.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to play football. He makes a lot of money. He's got about $130 million. Left on his contract. So
it just reminded
me
of that other Chris Farley sketch where he does the air quotes all the time. You know,
yeah.
You might not call me smart or have any brains at all. But yeah, term him an intellectual. But yeah, he's an interesting dude. I wouldn't be surprised if he was just. I wouldn't be personally. He's like, you know, that's it. I'm just going now. I'm going to move and I'm going to use my time to do different things and change the world and write
a
book.
You're not going to amount to jack squat.
Yes.
Well, they will play the Chiefs, not the Packers, but the Bucs will play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl because Kansas City took down Buffalo.
First and goal from the 6 for Kansas City. They trail 9-7. Motion man is Hill to the near side. Now shifts behind Mahomes. Handoff running to the right. Slashing, extra effort, diving Darrell Williams. He's in. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Iron Eagle Westwood won on the Fan. That was part of a 38-24 win after KC spotted Buffalo 9 points. Came storming back. Mahomes, 325, 3 touchdowns, tremendous. Here's Sean McDermott. They suffer the loss, but as he says, they didn't beat the best.
At the end of the day, this is our measuring stick. You know, if you lose an AFC Championship game, that's the team we got to beat. So we've got to do everything with that in mind this offseason.
So, Jerry. The Kansas City drive chart, they first series, they gave up the ball by punting.
Punt.
Then after that, touchdown, 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 end of half. And then they started the second half with a field goal, touchdown, touchdown, end of game.
Exactly why Buffalo couldn't kick field goals when they did.
That's exactly right. Yep. Except for, you know, the 4th and 28, I understand that.
Oh, for
one.
Sure.
But,
understood.
You know, you got to go in there thinking you got to score touchdowns, man.
Here's one more from McDermott. Yes, it's a loss, but glass half full. It is a step in the process.
This is a learning experience for us. That's how you have to look at it. We had a great season and came up a little bit short tonight, and it's a great football team on the other side.
In the loss, Josh Allen, 28 of 48, 287, 2 touchdowns, and 1 pick. Here was Patrick Mahomes. Bring on Tom Brady next.
Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be a great experience for me. I mean, to go out there and have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best. I mean, it's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
I'm with you. CBS has got to be thrilled
for
this matchup.
Oh, my goodness, of course. Now, Jerry, there is an Andy Reid clip that when I heard driving in this morning, we were talking about not only is Patrick Mahomes just great on the field, but just off the field. He doesn't put himself in any bad situations. And the entire time that I was listening to this clip, all I could hear was the drop that Eddie plays with Boomer going, So if you could find that and make that happen for me at some point.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you be that way?
What do you mean? Why wouldn't you be what way?
Like, who doesn't like Patrick Mahomes?
No, I understand.
I get the teams in that division probably can't stand him because he just keeps winning and just will continue to win as long as they continue to put players like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce around him. You know, their first pick this past year was Edwards-Helaire. Now, how's he doing?
Well, he was good yesterday after missing some time. But
Yeah. But, you know, like they'll keep adding players around him. They paid him a ton of money. And you just saw yesterday, Hiv's kind of play just speak
for
itself.
There's nothing wrong with him. Of course, we understand that.
Yeah.
But we still like having fun with you tongue bathing every now and again.
I will, when I get done off the break, I will check for that clip for you. So you got February 7th, Chiefs and Bucks from Raymond James Stadium. And yes, all these reports about Deshaun Watson, apparently the Jets are his top destination. If he gets traded from Houston, we'll see. And it looks like the reason why he wants the Jets is their new coach, Rob Saleh. Very interesting. All right, let's get to the Yankees. They did something very cool yesterday, as we heard from Moose on Instant Reaction.
Jameson Taillon's a Yankee.
Yes, he is, as Al also told us.
James Taillon. Tehelon.
I actually think it's Tyone is the way he pronounces it.
Tyone.
Yeah, Jameson Taillon.
So you were close then on the second one, Al.
James Taillon. Tehelon.
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 Thought he was French.
That was very funny. So yeah, the Yankees acquire Taillon from the Pirates for four prospects. He missed all of 2020 because of Tommy John surgery. Should be good to go this year. And he missed 2017 because of testicular cancer. The Nationals agree to a one-year deal with Brad Hand. So he is not coming to the Mets.
Oh, Ken Rosenthal got us all lathered up that day when he said
finalizing a deal.
Yeah, I know. Finalizing a deal with the Mets, and we're screaming Super Bowl pen, and then John Heyman came in and bitch-slapped Rosenthal and said, not done. And then Rosenthal had to apologize, and now all of a sudden he's on the freaking Nationals.
Hey, good for, first of all, good for John Heyman, bad for the Mets. For two reasons. One, we don't get him, and we're going to see him.
That's right.
And that's
not a good one.
No, not
a
great.
A one-year deal?
Yeah.
A one-year $10 million, I believe.
Yeah. That's it?
I know. Didn't like this one at all.
I thought we got like the richest owner in baseball. What
this one actually bothered me more than George Springer, because this to me seemed like a slam dunk. You bring this guy in, 1 year, $10 million. But I don't know. We'll see what they plan on doing next, but this was one of the guys that I wanted. I thought, you know, maybe you respond to no Springer with Jackie Bradley Jr. and Brad Hand, and then maybe even upgrade to third base somehow. But now Brad Hand's gone, and I don't know what they're going to do next.
Who knows?
Weird.
The Knicks played late last night in Portland, lost to the Blazers 116-113. Couldn't get all the way back. They trailed by, I think, as much as 26 in this game. They were down a lot. Damian Lillard had 39 points, 8 assists. If you want a positive, Julius Randle, 25, and Emmanuel quickly continues to play well. 31 points in this game. Here was Randle on the young kid.
Oh, he's been great. He was great today. Played with a lot of energy, made shots, obviously. But pushed the pace, but for a rookie, he's playing pretty well. Plays with extreme confidence.
I say on the kid, Randall's a kid himself, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, also another positive is they go out to the West Coast and they're actually not getting their asses
kicked
every
all.
Single night. I mean, even in these losses, we're talking about, you know, 5 points, 3 points, 2 points. So, I mean, and they won a couple games out there as well. So, or at least one game out there. Yeah, I mean, 8-10 looks a hell of a lot better than, you know, 2-16. Which they probably were at this time last year.
No
Enos
question.
Enos Kanter had 8 points.
Enos.
Yes. The Enos. Bucks beat the Hawks 129-115. How about this score? Remember the Cavaliers beat the Nets twice last week?
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics beat them 141-103. Stupid. Nets Heat. And did you see the Heat uniforms on Saturday night?
Yeah.
They were brutal.
Was that the pink and blue?
Oh. Blue and everything
I forget who said this, but someone said they were gender reveal uniforms. So, like, on one end, it was a girl. On the other end, it's a boy.
They were terrible.
Yeah, really ugly.
It was almost distracting watching the game.
Right. No, I know.
Very ugly. But anyway, they'll play again tonight. We'll have that for you on the Fan.
What do you think they thought when they put those on?
Ugly.
They might have liked them. I don't know.
You think they said, man, these are fresh?
Or are they doing that 2G with the whole court thing, the Miami Vice theme?
Yeah, which I generally like that theme, but this is just too much.
I would love a video camera on the players when they go to their locker and see, this is what we're wearing tonight.
Yeah, I bet you they probably like it more than they don't. Like, I mean, I can't get in the mind of a guy like Tyler Hero. You know, I mean, this guy's, what, 20 years old? He's been to the finals. He's got an Instagram model girlfriend. He probably thinks those things are great. You know, I mean, for me, not so much.
They were distracting, though. They definitely were.
I agree. Penguins beat the Rangers. Ugh. That's a distraction, Boomer. 3-2 the final.
God.
Jared McCann ties the game early in the third. Jake Guentzel with the go-ahead goal.
Man, we can't lock down a game in a third period. It's unbelievable.
So they're like the equivalent of 1-20.
Yeah, according to...
Yeah, they're off to a bad start, Eddie. Thank you very much. You over there at the con. You got the con?
I have the con.
Just stay at the con and just turn the mic off.
The Devils shut out the Islanders 2-0. Scott Wedgwood made 28 saves. Jack Hughes, he scored in the first period, as did Pavel Zacha. Rutgers beat Indiana 74-70. Fordham lost to Rhode Island.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
So Al said there's this thing on Netflix called Surviving Death, and you've got to watch it because there's an episode there called Reincarnation, and there's kids who end up having memories of past lives, and then they talk about it in great detail, and then it checks out. And there's actually a professor at the University of Virginia who does this for a living. Like, he checks these things out. He tries to figure it out. He studies reincarnation. So I said, come on. Like, I am Mr. Skeptical, Cynical. Like, I'm with Eddie. I'm with Jerry. You know, you're dead. You're dead. The whole thing. Like, this is how I've believed my whole life. So I watched this, and it's just freaky as hell. And I still don't know how I feel about it. Because on one hand, you think, all right, maybe the parents could have told the kids that this was something that they would say if a man came over and, like, was asking you questions, if there was a psychotic parent that, like, wanted this to be true. Like, maybe you could say that. But there's another instance of this kid who, I guess, the person that was reincarnated, Al, and if I'm wrong with any of these details, you'll let me know. There was, like, an actor from, what, the 30s, 40s, 50s, somewhere in that range, who was not a famous actor. He was sort of like in a couple movies, but he wasn't famous.
He was an extra.
And this kid sat there and pointed himself out, pointed this guy's wife out of a lineup. Like, they would put 4 pictures in front of this kid, and then bang, immediately he would point to the one that was pertinent to this guy's life. And the other reason why that one stood out to me more was this guy was obscure. Like, there was another one where a child was claiming he was reincarnated, and there was a kid from another kid who had passed away, where the details of that were in the newspaper. And that one, I was like, I don't know. But this one, like, this guy was totally obscure. It's from decades and decades and decades ago. And this kid, every single question that was asked of him, he would nail. So I don't know the answer. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm now all of a sudden a believer in reincarnation. But this is a, you know, we like to recommend TV shows to the viewers that are interesting and entertaining. This one, I haven't seen the other episodes. I would recommend this thing because it's a total mind blower.
So, Al, are you a believer now or what?
Well, yeah, after watching this, I did this weekend extensive research, believe it or not, where I read up on a lot of these cases, listened to a ton of podcasts where this doctor who runs the department at the University of Virginia and a bunch of the cases that he's dealt with. It's very interesting because, like Gio said, a lot of times the kids, when the kids first start to talk, so like 3 years old, they're spitting out information that they couldn't possibly have because you have to do deep research in order to prove these facts, including finding the surviving family members and asking them about their grandfather or somebody like that and finding out all the information. There's a very detailed case about a kid who believes he was shot down over Iwo Jima, and he had a lot of information about people who were on the ship with him, other pilots who had passed. They took the kid on a boat to the area where it was, and the kid broke down. Like it was a lot of stuff.
Wow,
I mean,
about that case
in
particular.
Was this kid?
Well, now he's I think he's like an adult now because I've seen him in videos now. He's like 18, 19 years old.
Okay,
but when he was it normally starts when they're 3 years old, like when they can first start to talk, and he was even signing his name as a little kid with the number 3 after it because his name is James. The pilot that he believes he was James Jr., which would make him now James the Third, which the family didn't even know why he was signing his name James
like,
III.
Like
even, he was a little kid.
Even the most cynical people in the world have to take this information and think about it because, like, you cannot just dismiss these things. Like, because you try to find a way. Like, even the professor at Virginia was like, I tried to work out the probability of a kid going 5 for 5 on these lineups by just guessing. And it's just not something that's possible. Like, when I bring these photos and these lineups of tell me which person means something to you, and they point out each person that is pertinent to this person that they claim to be, and they go 5 for 5, I mean, that's not chance.
Unless this is sort of a mockumentary, and I caution you, Boomer, Al was the guy who came in one Monday morning convinced that mermaids were real because he saw
true.
A mockumentary on the Discovery.
Well, that was true. This is I think this is different.
Yeah, that was the Discovery Channel's fault. They don't do mockumentaries. All of a sudden, one day they do a mockumentary.
Yeah, I remember that. That was super cheesy and over the top, though. You should have been able to sniff that one out. But this is different. And this guy actually works at the University of Virginia, dedicated his life to this.
Yes, he took over for somebody who had previously dedicated their life to it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as the kids get older, just like as we forget our childhood memories, as the kids get older, they start to forget the details as well. So the parents that were able to document these conversations early on and then had the researchers check out information, those are the ones that are most believable because there's a lot of information there.
Yeah. Mind blown. Anyway, check it out for yourself. I wanted to bring that up because it was in my head. And if you guys watch it and have any thoughts on it, we can talk about it again. Eddie, where do you stand on the reincarnation stuff?
I would tend to be...
Do you understand Bush?
In that camp. But I would have an open mind.
But yeah, go and watch this. You even have Netflix over there in your
house? I do have Netflix.
All right, yeah, go and watch that. And come back and see what you say, because me and you share a lot of beliefs in these things about, you know, we're more like space guys and like we believe more in aliens and sort of some of the other stuff. So like, check it out and see what you think. See if your mind gets changed a little bit.
And the name of it is again?
It's called Surviving Death, and it's the episode on reincarnation.
I went back and I searched this doctor's name on podcasts. I was listening to a bunch of podcasts where he was a guest, and he's a guest on a lot of podcasts that Eddie would like. Like when you look at their other topics, it's like aliens, Bermuda Triangle, you know, so there's some, you know, anything in that's mysterious that we can't
fully explain.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, check it out. You'll see. It's interesting. Definitely makes you think. All right, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Let's get these football calls now. What a transition. Reincarnation into the AFC and NFC Championship game. Marty in Lindenhurst joins us, or Lindhurst. I'm not sure which one. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I'd like to ask Boomer's opinion. In watching the Buffalo game yesterday, I counted Allen sprinting to his right more than 20 times. So what happens is he shortens the field, Diggs is double-teamed on that side of the field, and he basically prevents himself from doing anything at all. I don't know why the guy has great running ability, and yet he has this penchant for just running to his right almost all the time. And the second point that I wanted to make is the guy has to learn to get rid of the ball and not get sacked for 15, 20-yard losses. Boomer, what do you think?
Well, you know, you're accurate in both your assessments. There's no question about it. He's still a young kid. He's still learning how to play. He's refined his game to where I believe he actually is on the cusp of becoming a superstar. There's no question about that. And the Bills are going to be good as long as he's there.
Sure.
You know, they finally have their presence at quarterback. There's no question about that. Now, Steve Spagnuolo, and Giant fans know this, is a very bright defensive coordinator, and he knows what he's doing. And he knows that by forcing him to the right, he'll blitz to his left. You know, it's not really the way that you want him to go, simply because he throws better going to his right than he does to his left. But he also knows that let's double Steph Diggs and take him out of the game, because, you know, they're not like the Kansas City Chiefs that have Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, Edwards-Helaire. I mean, it's just like one guy after the next. It's faster than the guy before him. So it was a great, for the most part, a great game plan by Steve Spagnuolo yesterday. And Coach Cowher said it in the beginning of the, on the NFL Today. I know we were probably covered up by the game a little bit on the other channel, but Coach Cowher said, look, Steve Spagnuolo will come with different blitzes that, you know, will try to force Josh out of the pocket, but then there are going to be other blitzes where they're going to try to keep him in the pocket, and that did happen early on in this game. And, you know, that bad interception that he threw late, that hurt. I didn't think he had his best game, but then again, you know, you're going against the guy that's going to put up 31 points minimum and who actually played his best game of the year, I think.
So go out to Tom's River and talk to Gino, who's on the fan. What's up, Gino?
How you doing?
Hey, man.
Couple points. Number one, everybody gets on Aaron Rodgers. He's got one Super Bowl. So does Drew Brees. Number two, how many more calls do we got to see and Tom Brady crying about? He got the fumble in the Raiders game. The NFL got rid of the tapes on the Super Bowl for the Rams. The jumping at the legs. If he was in 85 with the Giants, Bears, and Eagles, he would have got smashed. He's the biggest crybaby in all sports. I've never seen a player in NFL history get more calls than him and act like a big baby. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're sick as fans.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of people that feel that way. I don't. There are people that don't want to see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl because of the cheating stuff with the Patriots. They're tired of him. They think that he gets breaks and all of these. I don't see it that way. I saw a guy that, yeah, in the second half, he threw some picks and he played poorly, left the door open for Aaron Rodgers. But I saw a guy in that first half yesterday with a new team who set out to do this thing that was just crazy to go to the Buccaneers and that I thought was going to fail. Play probably the best half of football I'd seen him play since the Super Bowl against the Falcons. Like, that's, I mean, the accuracy, the throws he was making, the arm strength, the decision-making process, which got worse as the game went on. This guy, to me, I am the opposite of that last caller, and I understand there's a lot of people that dislike Tom Brady. To me, I don't think in my lifetime, or maybe anybody's lifetime, that we're going to get a professional athlete who is this accomplished ever again. With all the circumstances, I mean, from here on out. Now, there's guys in the past, you want to talk about Bill Russell, and we can have these tired old sports talk conversations, which I don't feel like having. But I just don't think that there is a guy with football, you know, the way that the salary cap has impacted everything, and him now going to Tampa Bay and doing this, I don't think there's ever going to be a guy like this ever again. The most important position, by the way, in all of pro sports.
I would say that LeBron James is one of those guys. I would also say Bill Russell's one of those guys. There have been guys. I don't know if we'll see another guy like this unless it's Patrick Mahomes and he lasts for 20 years.
Right.
Maybe that will be the next guy, and he's got a new 10-year contract and he's going to be there for a long time. And if he continues to stay dedicated and grounded and
maybe,
really
but
wants
I mean, this is
legacy,
one hell of a mountain to climb.
I will say that in the 53 games, I think that Patrick Mahomes has played, he started on quite the trek to leave a legacy behind.
Sure.
I can tell you that right now, especially if he wins his second Super Bowl here in back-to-back seasons, and which would really be amazing. But, you know, it's when you think about like what's happening with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's so 2020. You know, because the Lightning had to go into a bubble. They win the Stanley Cup in a bubble. The Rays have to go into a bubble. They lose the World Series to the Dodgers, but they're in the World Series. And now you have Tampa Bay not only in the World Series, but they're supposed to be, the Super Bowl, they're supposed to be playing in a neutral site, but the neutral site happens to be their home stadium. I mean, is that like the craziest thing ever?
Yeah. I mean, what a year for Tampa Bay sports.
Just,
I mean, they can't even imagine.
The fact that Tom Brady, this time last year, was leaving the Patriots and trying to choose a team to go to, and he ends up going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the middle of a goddamn pandemic.
Yeah. And he did all of that, and he elevated all of these guys around him. I mean, outside of Gronk, who he brought there, but there was a lot of guys who were on that team that probably would have never seen the Super Bowl if it weren't for him coming there and then putting the entire team and roster on his back.
Another huge key play yesterday, late in the game, was that little tight end delay screen to Gronk.
Gronk, yeah, where he was invisible for most of the game, and then here he makes this tremendous play.
It was his only catch, right?
Yeah, that was it.
What a call by, I'm assuming, Byron Leftwich, the offense coordinator, is making the call. What a call.
Yeah, no, I know. I also thought that Godwin play to seal the game was also a really smart play call.
Yes.
Where he ended up sliding in bounds. That was the final play. That play design was something that I hadn't seen from them, and it worked perfectly in that spot. So, he's amazing. And the way that he does it, I mean, he's just so damn cool, too. And I know that people who hate Brady are like, shut up. But, like, what he did, when it's him and Drew Brees on the field after the Saints game, and he's sitting there looking the way he does, he throws Drew Brees' kid a touchdown pass in the end zone. Yesterday, when he goes over to the security guard right after the game ends and said, "Hey, can I say hi to my son?" I mean, he's like a movie star. It's crazy, this guy. And the fact that he goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, go ahead. Play it. I don't care. Play it.
God.
But, I mean, it's like he goes to the Buccaneers and then takes these guys to the Super Bowl. It's like, what the hell? You can't even freaking say anything else about it anymore.
Actually made Antonio Brown an effective receiver in the last
that's
five
the one
games
thing.
Of the
that's
year.
That's the one thing that stops me short is that whole thing, is that he likes Antonio Brown as much as he does. That bothers me. But as far as his on-field stuff, I mean, there's nothing you can say anymore. It's insanity.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.